Hey everybody! Welcome to the very first episode of Sincerely Questionable. My name is Jessica Jones, and thanks for coming along on this weird ride podcast thing. This is my very first podcast recording ever in the history of me having this podcast, so I apologize in advance for any weird audio or editing mishaps or things that I say wrong, because I'm going to mispronounce things. I apologize. I'm from Indiana. You can go ahead and blame them. At least I don't say Warsh. We're going to start things off with a bit of a lesser known topic. Today we're going to be talking about the Lemurians. Or Lemurians. Lemurians. However you want to say it. I'm going to say it Lemurians. This topic actually came from a random Lyft driver I had recently. I had just come back from California from visiting my family in the Midwest when I experienced what was probably the most LA Lyft ride that I could ever imagine. This wonderful guy was going on and on about Mount Shasta and how these magical beings helped him unlock his DNA. He claimed to encounter them while sitting near a lake with his eyes closed and saying something along the lines of, "I respect you. Please show yourselves to me." Well, most people may have brushed this guy off as a complete and total nutcase, but I love weird shit. So as soon as I got home, I started Googling everything. And now here we are. To understand the Lemurians at Mount Shasta, we first have to go back to when the myth of Lemuria began. Just a heads up if you want to do your own research, Lemuria is also sometimes referred to as Mu or the lost continent of Mu. In the mid-1800s, science and exploration were booming. Everyone was coming up with what we now see as completely batshit ideas, but at the time, they seemed completely plausible. Science was kind of the Wild West, and as long as you said it with enough conviction, or in some cases, you were wearing a lab coat, people would probably believe you. Evolution was all the fad as well. In November of 1859, Charles Darwin had published his now famous On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection. This had the scientific community losing their freaking minds, and everyone wanted to have the next big theory to shake up the world. One theory that started to stand out at the time was from a known lawyer, zoologist, and biogeographer. We'll go with biogeographer. Philip Sclater. In 1864, Sclater's The Mammals of Madagascar appeared in the Quarterly Journal of Science. Sclater was interested as to why Madagascar had so many more species of lemurs than Africa and Asia. This led him to believe that Madagascar must be the primordial home of all lemurs. Alright, that's logical enough. But then how did they get to the other continents? Don't worry, your boy Philip has you covered. Sclater then hypothesized that there must have been a huge land bridge connecting Madagascar to places like Africa, Asia, Australia, and even what is now the Americas. He aptly named this huge continent Lemuria after his lemur buddies. To quote Sclater, "The anomalies of the mammal fauna of Madagascar can best be explained by supposing that anterior to the existence of Africa in its present shape, a large continent occupied parts of the Atlantic and Indian Oceans, stretching out towards America in the west and to India and its islands in the east. That this continent was broken up into islands, of which some have become amalgamated with present continent of Africa, and some, possibly, with what now is Asia, and that in Madagascar and the Macarene Islands, we have existing relics of this great continent, for which as the original focus of Sterp's Lemurium, I propose the name Lemuria." Since the theory of sunken land masses was already pretty popular and accepted at the time, Sclater's theory was accepted without much question. A few other scientists also jumped on the idea to explain their own Darwinian missing link and geological theories. German biologist Ernest Haeckel even began publishing works that claimed that this Lemuria may have been the birthplace of humanity. The Lemurian theories did pretty well up until about the early 1900s, when modern scientists started to better understand plate tectonic movements and how it moved the once connected continents, you know, Pangaea and all that, away from each other into what they now are today. It also probably didn't help that ancient human remains were found in Africa, suggesting that it was actually the cradle of humankind. But, like the Ironborn say, what is dead may never die. When science leaves a theory behind, often the occult, pseudoscience, or the paranormal will come around to claim it. Lemuria was thrust into the world of the occult by a lady you've probably heard of, Madame Helena Blavatsky. We're not going to get into the whole Nazi ideology connection with Blavatsky right now, but if I ever do an episode on Nazi occultism, I probably will. Madame Blavatsky is most known for her works on the seven root races, which she stated were phases of human evolution. The third of these was Lemurians. Blavatsky describes the Lemurians as 7 feet tall, sexually hermaphroditic, egg-laying, mentally undeveloped, but more spiritually pure than the other root races. I tried reading about the root races, but my brain was not prepared for that. There is so much to them, and there are more names of races than there are characters in Game of Thrones, so go ahead and Google at your own peril if you decide to go down that rabbit hole. Many other authors started getting in on the trend, and theories began to arise about Lemuria's origins and their eventual fates. Some claimed they went to war with the Atlanteans, and their mutual destruction destroyed both continents, causing their residents to become refugees in other lands. This theory is explained more on a site called LemurianConnection.com. According to the site, approximately 25,000 years ago, Atlantis and Lemuria were the two most highly civilized places on Earth. And you can imagine what's going to happen when two superpowers start fighting. To quote the site, dissension between the two, Atlantis and Lemuria, arose regarding the development and evolution of other civilizations. The Lemurians believed that the other less evolved cultures should be left alone to continue their own evolution at their own pace, according to their own understanding and pathway. Whereas, the Atlanteans believed that the less evolved cultures should be more controlled by the two more evolved civilizations. Their argument over ideologies resulted in several thermonuclear wars, which weakened both continental plates. When the wars were over and the dust had settled, there were no winners, only death, destruction, and further debasing of the human spirit to the point that both sides realized the futility of such behavior. There are many more connections to Atlantis and Lemuria, so have fun if you fall into that Google hole. I may have to do an episode later about Atlantis since there's a lot more information, but we'll get to that. That brings us up to the Mount Shasta connection. If you're into the strange, you've probably come across references to Mount Shasta once or twice. I may have to do an episode completely on it as well, because there's everything from Bigfoot colonies to invisible animals. But being a hub of weird, it's not a huge stretch that Lemurians are connected to this fabled mountain. In 1899, Frederick Spencer Oliver published A Dweller of Two Planets, in which he claimed the survivors from the sunken continent known as Lemuria were actually living inside of Mount Shasta in Northern California. According to Oliver, the Lemurians were living inside a series of complex tunnels beneath Mount Shasta. In 1904, a British prospector by the name of J.C. Brown started claiming that he had found an underground city about 11 miles deep inside the mountain. Brown told everyone that the city was full of gold, shields, and 10-feet tall mummies. Obviously excited, because who wouldn't want to see a 10-feet tall mummy? A group of around 80 people was created to explore the mountain. But on the day the team was setting out for Mount Shasta, Brown mysteriously and conveniently disappeared. In 1931, another author, Harvey Spencer Lewis, who decided to use the pseudonym Wiser Spinal Kavir for whatever reason, wrote another book claiming there were hidden Lemurians inside the mountain. It suggested this was the book that really made the whole Mount Shasta Lemurian theory become popular in modern times. There's actually a surprising amount of modern belief in Lemurians. It's thought that the city inside of Mount Shasta is called Telos, and is home to 1.5 million Lemurians. How they fit 1.5 million 7 feet tall beings inside of a mountain is insanity, but you know, fun stories and all that. It's also thought that since Lemurians were such a highly evolved spiritual race, they can be contacted via spiritual messages from their believers. I'm guessing this is what my Lyft driver is saying is what he was experiencing. Debate about their appearance is also apparently a hot topic on the internet. Some are on the highly evolved human camp, and others say they look like animals. Everyone seems to believe that they're generally much taller than our surface-dwelling folk. Lemurians are described by the LemurianConnection.com as graceful and tall, 7 feet and up, with long, flowing hair. They dress in white robes and sandals, but they have also been seen in very colorful clothing. They have said to have long, slender necks and bodies, which they adorn with beautiful decorative collars they make of beads or precious stones. They have evolved their sixth sense, which enables them to communicate among themselves by extrasensory perception. They can also teleport, make themselves invisible at will. Their mother tongue is Lemurian language, also called Solara Maru. They also speak an impeccable English with a slight British accent. They have chosen to learn English as a second language because they are situated in America, where the people who live on their rooftop speak English as their main language. They have become an ascended civilization living in the fifth dimension vibration and consciousness. As most societies, the Lemurian city of Telos is said to be run by a governmental body. In Telos's case, it's actually a combination of two. According to the LemurianConnection.com, in Telos, there are two forms of government. The king and queen of Telos, Ra and Ranamu, ascended masters who are also the twin flames, form one aspect of the government of Telos. They are the ultimate rulers of Telos. The second form of government is local council, called the Lemurian Council of Light of Telos, consisting of 12 ascended masters, where 6 men and 6 women serve on the council to balance the divine masculinity with their divine femininity. A 13th member, the head high priest of Telos, at this time Adama, officiates as the leader of the council to make the final decision when there is an even vote and the decisions made by the council. Wow, that's repetitive. As in many New Age religions and beliefs, crystals play a big part. It's said that the Lemurians use crystals for communication tools, programming them to share their messages of healing and oneness. They apparently also use their crystals to power electronics and transportation devices, which is pretty cool. There's even a full-on religion known as Lemurian Fellowship. While using mostly Christian themes and beliefs, they add a heaping pile of Lemurian philosophy. You can check it out at LemurianFellowship.org. They seem like nice enough people, so don't go troll them. Go troll Scientology or something instead. I also found out in the last few days that someone I've known for a while actually believes she's an Lemurian. And she's one of the sweetest people I've ever met. She says she used to tell her mom that she lived in that big mountain in her past life whenever they visited Mount Shasta as a child. So that's a light dive, a very light dive into Lemurians. There's tons and tons of information online to read up on, and I've only covered a bit of it. I tried to avoid the 1990-esque GeoCity sites with sparkly graphics when researching, but they're definitely out there waiting for you. Have you gone to Mount Shasta to seek out the Lemurians? Well, let me know. That's all for this episode. If you like it, subscribe and all that jazz. You can email me at sincerelyquestionable@gmail.com or tweet crazy things at me at SQ with Jessica J on Twitter. You can also share any topics you'd like with me to cover, or recipe ideas, or drawings, or whatever. I'm bored. Please send me things. Thanks for listening. See you next time.